This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Our first story of the day kind of takes on bad driving behavior, right?
Quintessentially Malaysian behavior, some might say, unfortunately.
Well, there's a bunch of stuff that has been happening. If you've been following social media, I guess, okay, so there's the biggest story about Anthony Lok wiping out all of your AES summons. Great. For some of us, maybe. I don't speed. There is also a viral video that had been doing the rounds of a guy who decided, like, who was so frustrated with the double parking situation, he decided to ram his truck. Is it a truck?
Yeah, his Hilux
into a car that was in the way.
He's kind
multiple
of
times.
Living everybody's darkest fantasy, I think. You know, for all of us who've ever been stuck behind somebody who's just kind of plonked themselves right behind your car, and you think, if I could.
At first you're like, I'll give it 5 minutes. And then, I'll give it 5 more minutes. And then it's half an hour.
Maybe he was rushing. Maybe they had to.
And there was no note on the windscreen saying, please call me if you need to move this car. And then, of course, I don't know if you saw this, there was the other video in the parking lot of someone who decided to choke the parking space by standing on it. This was covered, I think, on says.com. And essentially, this lady was standing on a parking lot and this guy was filming her and she was like, no, this is my parking spot. And he was like, you are a person. You are not a car. And it was quite amusing. It didn't get violent, but it was a bit of a standoff, right?
And it's an understandable standoff. I mean, the amount of space, I think, for the average person that parking takes up in your head, it's kind of just not right overall.
You're right, Lid. I mean, it's a high-stress situation. If you've ever decided to go to, say, Mid-Valley on a weekday, or on a weekend for that matter, or say any major shopping mall, you've got to plan your timing. If you get there before 10 o'clock in the morning, you get parking, even if your lunch appointment is at 1.
It's the amount of times that I've had sort of incomprehensible exchanges of looks between people, who look at me, looking at them in just a complete, utter lack of comprehension about why it is that you're going against the flow of traffic to get this one parking spot. But you understand. There is a part of you that understands. When things get dark, you do what needs to be done.
So what then is the cause of this, in your opinion? Because I don't think it is a problem of education. I don't think it is a problem of corruption, when getting your license or anything like that. Because I think we're aware of what is right and what is wrong.
This is what I'll say. I will say that when I got my driving license and when it was time for my father to take me out on the streets and, teach me how to drive outside of driving school.
Yeah.
The first thing that he was most invested in teaching me was defensive driving.
Right.
And I think that says a lot. I think everybody gets into that mindset of it's me and my car versus everyone else in their cars. And you kind of lose all sense of civility by and large. I mean, we see it every day. And the amount of rage that people feel when things don't go the way they think it should, or when you don't have the right of way that you think you do. And even that notion of right of way is debatable.
But also, there is this notion of just bad Malaysian behavior. We do not fear any kind of retribution in our own country. When we take our cars to Singapore, we are so fearful of what might happen. We stay within the speed limit. We don't stop unnecessarily. We don't park on double lines or yellow lines because we know the policeman will be there within seconds to take us out. I remember rushing out. I parked a car at an allocated spot in Singapore and I paid my ticket. But of course, the ticket is like for an hour. And then after the hour's up, they make you go out and replenish that ticket. I was 5 minutes late and I already had a ticket.
Did it put the fear of God in you?
Well, I already had the fear of God. It's just that it took me 5 minutes to walk from the restaurant to the parking lot and I already had a ticket. Which, of course, they said, well, sir, you can pay it immediately right now. You can just text this number, and they make it very efficient. So I think it's just bad behavior. When Malaysians are in Singapore or when Malaysians are in foreign countries, we follow the rules with regards to lining up at the airport to get to our seats. But over here, we all rush to the queue.
Which kind of makes this recent news story about the AES summonses even more disheartening in a way. I mean, I understand why it has to be done, but the fact that I'll put my hand up and say that I have received one of these summonses and I paid it. And I don't regret it because I did I regret the speeding. I don't regret I don't regret paying for the summons because right. I did the wrong thing and yes. I needed to do that. But the fact that we live in a sort of lack of a no consequence world, I suppose, is exactly what you're talking about.
We have on the line Ajit Joel, president of 4PAM, that's the Public Transport Users Association. Ajit, thank you so much for joining us again. Why do you think it's still such a great challenge to regulate driving behavior in this country?
I will go back to a simple case of enforcement. The laws are in place already. Enforcement has always been lacklidial in Malaysia, specifically when the government of the day, the police issues the summon and you get discounts for paying late, you get discounts for paying early. So hence Malaysians will take advantage of the system. So the new direction that the transport minister has set to eliminate and start everybody from a clear slate so nobody can complain of past issues and assuring that no more discounts will be given, we believe I believe will strongly impact Malaysians. There will be a change in driving habits, especially speeding on the highway, and together with the taxing and all the other laws that Malaysians flout in the roads.
So clearly tougher enforcement is key, but what did you think of the double parking incident, Ajit? We don't condone the behaviour of the Hilux driver who rammed into the Honda which was double parked behind him, but do you think this is what other drivers need to see to actually keep them from repeating a behaviour like double parking?
Two wrongs don't make one right. The guy shouldn't have rammed the car into the guy parked in the yellow line. Having said that, Malaysians need to improve on their civic mindedness on the road. We just need to. We will complain about traffic jams and then not realizing that we too sometimes break the laws that cause these traffic jams. So when we get the opposite end of it, we become very angry but don't realize that at the same time, we too contribute towards it. One incident, on the other hand, does not reflect on the entire Malaysian attitude. Because you meet some good drivers, you meet some bad drivers. So it's a bit unfair to stamp all Malaysian drivers as like that. But unfortunately, such incidences get highlighted. Now, on the other hand, also Malaysians need to improve on their civic mindedness across the board. There's a reason there's an indicator on your car. Something as simple as giving signals to left and right. Stopping at red. Like, this is just fundamental basic driving habits that need to be inculcated. It also not only saves other people, it saves your own life. So that has to be kicked in.
All right, Ajit, what we've seen so far have largely been punishment-based approaches to tackle bad driving behavior. Summonses are the key example. On the extreme end, you have that Hilux driver. Do you think there's room for reward-based approaches to encourage people to drive safely?
Now, that's a very interesting question. This is something that we discussed with the ministry in the previous administration when they were implementing the Kejara, the road safety point system. Now, car insurance has already been unregulated, which is good, okay? So the maximum amount of your NTB, 55%, unfortunately still remains. So our argument to the government of the day is that too should increase. So if I'm a careful driver, if I'm a good driver, my NTBs, the no-claim bonus, should go up. It shouldn't be capped at 55%, right? If I am a good driver, I should be rewarded. My premiums, so my insurance become lower. That's my incentive to drive safe. So you have to use both approaches. You have to punish as well as reward. You just cannot just keep punishing people and not rewarding. Then you will deter the industry from growing.
So why do you think that hasn't been put in place yet? Are there challenges that would make it difficult to implement?
It's quite easy. If I've got more than 5 years of good driving, I don't have a police summon, which they can check all the records are online, correct, I should be entitled to higher discounts on my premium, more than the 55% at 55. So it's not an impossible mechanism to do. It's not going to cost $1 zillion. My argument is this is where the ministry should step in and tell the general insurance companies, if you want to have open ended premiums, unregulated premiums, then the NCB discount too should be unregulated, not regulated or capped at 55%. That will be a game changer. In most of the developed countries, what they have done is they've made premiums higher for the younger age group so that parents think twice before buying them a car because affordability will kick in. At this point of time, it's quite relatively affordable. You go to more developed countries, you will do not be surprised that the premiums could be higher than the price of the second-hand car. So the kids who are going to drive, and then if they get into an accident, the way the premiums double up, they literally can afford to drive. So those are the things that we need to inculcate. Not looking at third national car policies and trying to build another car. We need to get our drivers sorted out.
Ajit, the double parking incident was extreme, but do you think that regulation among drivers is an effective deterrent as well? I mean, is the good old angry horn a way to get the message across to other drivers to drive in a safe manner?
It's a bit tricky. I mean, the horn is there for a reason in the car, mm-hmm. but I don't think it's used for abuse. It's used as a reminder. I'm, you know, honking at someone, get out of my way, please give me way. Or if someone is, a pedestrian is crossing, so you sort of sound him up, going around the corner. The horn has many purposes, but I don't think it should be used as an element of abuse, especially those guys who have, or those drivers who have air horns that, you know, literally give someone a heart attack. That becomes a dangerous point then. I can only imagine if there's a senior driver, if the guy puts the air horn, he gets a heart attack, he may end up having a heart attack and knock into two other people. You don't want that. I really don't think it's a good idea. Again, you know, it's how the horns are done. If it's a little beep, then it's fine. If you guys go teen, and you know, that shouldn't be encouraged.
Thank you, Ajit, for your perspective. That was Ajit Joel, president of 4PAM, the Public Transport Users Association. Some ideas on what we can do to actually improve our driving behavior. You can call us on 03-77-109-000 with your thoughts on what would be an effective approach to encourage good driving in this country. And we already have a call. We've got Aman on the line. Aman, thank you so much for calling. What do you think? And I'm sure this is something you've experienced on our roads.
Yeah, thank you very much. I agree with the guy just now with regards to the tougher fines, mm-hmm. and regulations. Implementation of regulations, rules of law, that is the most important thing. I remember when I was in UK the other day, the local council there, they appointed a group of and local enforcement officers.
Okay.
But they are not local. They are from...
You mean from the public?
Yeah. Hello?
Hello, yes. Carry on.
Yeah. They are from, I think, another country who have these no-nonsense things of, you know, when they were facing with the locals who flout the laws, especially when it comes to parking. So... I think it can also be implemented here. I don't know, maybe local council can, you know, appoint or people from, you know, those who have this no-nonsense kind of attitude, so that people actually will not flout the law, especially when it comes to, you know, parking, especially in the cities like Kuala Lumpur.
Right.
That's my thought.
No, thank you very much, Aman, for your thoughts. It goes back to enforcement, right?
It does, which HS Dan agrees with, saying that just enforcement is enough. No bargains or discounts. Look at our neighbours in Singapore. See what happens there if you try to nego.
Tiala. Kraila, call us on 03-77-109-000 with your thoughts on how we can better improve driving in this country. We've got some music coming your way. Got some song coming your way.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.